Okay, well, as she said, this is our last week together studying this concept of learning how to fear God instead of fearing people, and these concepts of being in awe of God, which leads to our obedience to Him, which often then works itself out in the way that we love people. And I sat and I thought and I just really prayed, like, God, how would you want us to wrap this class up? And honestly, the sinful part of me wishes that I just had some profound thought to just impart to you, to leave you with. But the truth is, I don't have anything profound to say. And if you haven't yet read the final chapter of your book, I do encourage you to do that. I can't say it any better than what Ed Welch does. So today, as Christy said, instead of going over the book, I'm just going to share with you how God has used all this in my life in the past few months. And as I thought backwards, and I really thought about, you know, when Christy and I first started talking about this class and what we wanted for it, as I was remembering that, I wanted you to know the truth. And that the truth would set you free. I wanted you to see God and for that to change everything about you, because that has truly changed my life. And I so desperately want it for each of you. John 8:31 and 32 says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it's in the word that we learn who God is. It's in the word that we see idols and people you have put before God. It's in the word that God allows us to see what is controlling us. And when we start to really pay attention to events and situations and circumstances that cause our more extreme emotions, both positive and negative, it starts to show us what is controlling us. And for me, you know, when those come, it's often not God. So ironically, or perhaps not really, one of my biggest concerns for teaching this class was that I didn't want it just to be another thing that you have to do. Just one more thing to go after to prove that you're this A-plus Christian. Also, ironically, or perhaps not, I figuratively drug myself into this class, not understanding that I had picked up the weight again of trying to earn God's approval and people's approval. And I was just so very weary. And I felt like someone had placed like a huge boulder on my back, and I was just gonna crumple at any moment. And I blamed it on my season of life, on the crazy demands of being a taxi mom and of having teenagers that are so fun, but mentally just so exhausting. And I was literally just surviving. And all those things are definitely a small part of the weariness for sure. But as you've given me the opportunity to learn and grow alongside you, it'd be nothing less than dishonest to pretend like that was the problem. I was praying for God to set you free, for you to not pick up the bag of self-improvement and self-reliance while I was struggling underneath the load of my own pack, trying to earn my way, trying to deserve freedom. So, and as we looked at who God is and we refreshed our awe of Him these past few weeks, I suddenly became aware of my extreme weariness and the weight on me that felt almost crushing. And as we looked at who we are, God opened my eyes to what was really controlling me. A reoccurring sin issue that I have in my life is that I want to be enough. Like, I want to be enough. And I buy into this lie that if I'm not enough, then I could really mess this thing up, right? Because it all depends on me. I could set my kids on the path to prison. I could set you all on the path to heresy. And I, like, as I think about people being really big in my life, right, perhaps the most obvious outworking of that in my own life is this deep down fear that people will know that I'm not enough. But even more than that, I already know. I already know that I'm not enough. I know I'm not great. I know I'm not killing it. So deep down, I buy into the lie that then when God looks at me, he's disappointed that I'm not enough. And I'd become so very weary because I had stopped resting and I had started striving. And I had become so weary because every single day you have to prove to God that you're enough, and to people that you're worth something. All while at the same time, I mean, I can give you a 47-page list of all the things that I am not doing well, of all the ways that I am sinning. And my sin here is not that I know I'm not enough. I'm not. That's true. My sin is that I keep trying to be enough. And Jenny Allen says that being near to God doesn't produce pressure or legalism. It produces worship. And we try to make ourselves into something that God will be proud of, that will make us worthy to be his child, that will make it obvious to people, oh, yes, that's why God picked her to do that. And that pressure will just suck the joy right out of your life, and it will crush you. We try to be something that other people can point at and say, wow, like, she's got it all together. And that isn't God focus. That's self focus. Prior to this past spring, if you knew me then, you would have called me this strange blend of laid back and organized. I could keep details filed away. I could remember most things, especially if I had written it down, and I could do it all at the very last minute. I was good at managing life. I could organize an event or a situation with hardly even batting an eye. You could pile 82 things on me at once and I could take care of it. I had my ducks in a row, always. And then came this past spring. Now, whether it was going from doing nothing with all the COVID stuff to all of a sudden doing all the things, or if I had like this lingering COVID brain fog or something going on, God just allowed that ability to be taken away. I could literally remember nothing. Not only were my ducks not in a row, I didn't even know where they were at. I could barely figure out the next hour of my life, much less an entire day or week. I was almost literally incapable of doing one thing, much less 82 things. And I've spent the last several months in a complete fog and really wrestling and trying to figure out, like, God, why? Why did you take away from me the one thing that I was good at? Like, what's the purpose of that? And over the past few weeks, his honest answer to that, I have realized, is because I started to believe that as long as I had that, I would be enough. And God needed me to remember that I never will be, but he always will be. And he had to take it in order to bring me to my knees. So God has deeply humbled me in these past few weeks. He has shown me in new and powerful ways that it's time to lay down the striving and thinking that I have to prove my worth to him, to you, to everyone around me. Because if you spend your life trying to prove you're enough, you miss the whole point. And if we think we just need God to add a little bit of grace to, you know, we're pretty close to being enough and we just need a little bit of God on top, like, we've missed the point, right? If you think that God's enough for your salvation, but then not enough for your everyday life, we've missed the point. Ruth Chow Simmons says, "We believe the gospel is powerful enough to save me from hell, but not powerful enough to save me to something greater than self-improvement." The gospel is not a recipe for self-improvement, a little mixing of work with what you've got, sprinkling in a little religious effort, adding in discipline, strategy, and a healthy dash of likability. That works for a little while, right? some of that. You just keep adding some of that in, but it won't last. The gospel is about complete life change. The gospel is in Jesus Christ alone, not Carmen plus a little bit of Jesus. So the question isn't really if you are enough, or even if you think people are enough. The question is really, do you believe that God is enough? That the gospel is enough? And that's what God has taught me through this class these past few weeks, that God is enough. His gospel plan is enough. And I never will be. And nothing I do ever will make me enough, because it was only when God looked at Jesus on the cross that he pardoned me. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh," or your sin, "God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So the more you can understand that you should be dead, that you deserve death for your sin, and that your sin debt has been canceled, that you don't owe it anymore, and what you got instead was life and forgiveness, what's going to flow out of you is love for and worship of him. And when God allows you to understand that your sin was nailed to the cross, you're naturally going to love God more. And the more you love God, the more you will be compelled to obey him. And the more you love and obey him, the more you will love people instead of needing people to complete you or to make you feel like you're enough. So I started out praying that God would set you free, and in his mercy, he set me free. Nothing about my circumstances have changed, and in fact, some parts of my life are now more stressful than when we started, but I'm not weary anymore. I don't feel like I'm carrying the weight of the world. I still pray that God has used this class and the truth of his word and the beautiful words of Christy and Marty that I got to teach with to set you free. I pray that you see him for who he is, that you've grown in your awe, and you see like never before that he truly is enough for every part of your life. That truly, as he has become big to you, that people have become small. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know where my ducks are at, but God has all of the answers. So I just encourage you to make it your goal to be in this book. Throw yourself into knowing and loving God, not for what he can do for you, but because of what he already did for you. God looked on Christ and pardoned me. God looked on Christ and pardoned you. And as you do that, obedience will flow out of you. People will be small and in their rightful place because God is in his rightful place. So let me just read this verse as a prayer, and then we'd love for any of you to also share how God has used this in your life. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen."